saving money on your interior stains and finishes now at Menards. Provide exceptional color to your staining project with Minwax Color Series. It applies evenly and dries fast with just one coat. Get a quart of Minwax Color Series wood stain in over 240 colors. On sale now through April 12th. Visit our paint desk and let our helpful team get you everything you need for your stain project today.
Save big money at Menards.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
There is a huge discussion on Twitch. Twitch, I'm on here, and I'm seeing, you know, there's so many people that are so... Somebody made a really good point. If this was your kid and he was able to make some money, how about one of the best things that Luch said while he was here? The families came up. Spiller's family came up from Houston for this thing. The kid's going to get paid $10,000. I don't know how many of you have had a college athlete. I know you love to watch athletics. I don't know if you know the time, energy, the sweat, the effort, how difficult it is, especially to be at the highest level. You know, my kid played college, but he never made it to the highest level. But I do know the time, even in high school, even in grammar school, he was putting, you know, he just wanted it so bad. And he worked and worked in the offseason, lifting, throwing, all the time. Thought, eat, slept, and drank it. And these kids are doing this. For these kids to get $10,000 for just because of who they are, how hard they've worked, is awesome. And the families were like, oh, thank you so much, and couldn't have been more appreciative. It was $10,000 for the kid, all of the work that he had put in. It's not ruining anybody. Nobody's like, your life is okay. That kid is going to be just fine. He's going to continue to work harder. Maybe there's more money in it for him. Maybe there won't be more money in it for him. And it was cool that it's the running back and the safety that he did it, that Luch paid $10,000 each for exclusive interviews, paid by Green Print Real Estate. That's kind of cool because it wasn't the quarterback, you know, automatically getting it. Spiller deserved it because of how well he's played. I don't know. Richardson must be a really good player. I don't know him. But, you know, he had other guys. Leal, he could have, you know, or Green, or, you know, whomever. Guys that are big and coming up, but that these kids are going to be able to make some money, it's not the ruination of sports. You know what? Nothing has changed except these kids got some cash in their pocket.
Are you sure it's not going to change football as we know it, John? College football as we know it.
It's going to be the worst thing that ever happened. You know what? With, you know, $9 million a year coaches.
Are you sure?
But God forbid that a couple of kids make $10,000.
When I am tuned in to the first big weekend of the season, and I know that Derek King got $20,000 from a moving company, and I watch him line up against Alabama, I think to myself, man, the game has changed.
It's over.
Are you sure?
It's terrible.
I won't feel that way?
This is awful, man.
Well, I mean, you poo-poo all this stuff, guys making money, but I feel like the college football world as I know it has changed because none of these guys were being paid money before.
John isn't looking past 30 seconds from when they get the money. What
happens after they get the money?
Hasn't ruined anyone yet. It's just getting started, John.
Does money ruin?
Yeah, $10,000 for that kid who's worked his ass off for I don't know how long. Isaiah Spiller is going to be a junior, right?
You think so.
And so all the hard work that he's put in for high school and college, and he gets $10,000, he's ruined.
So Isaiah Spiller, as you mentioned, is probably a junior. Let's see. He's older than Cade Cunningham, Evan Mobley, Jalen Green. He's 19. Actually, he's about the same age, 19. He'll be 20 in August. So Well, is it going to ruin all the professional basketball players in June?
Yes.
Like when
they're ruined.
When Cade Cunningham gets his deal, is anyone going to be concerned about the ruination of Cade Cunningham when he signs his deal?
He's going to be ruined, Dell.
Or is it because he's now going to play
for the... Well, he's a pro, so that's different.
But he's the same age as...
But he's
Spiller.
Ruined now.
Ah.
He doesn't have to go to college anymore.
Ah.
Like he went to college last year.
For maybe 6 months. Who knows?
Listen, that's right. He put on that uniform for... He was done in the spring. I, you know, a lot of these guys, the one-and-done guys, they don't even go to class in the spring. I mean, once it starts in January, this is over.
Yeah.
I don't need the grades to be eligible. I know, just got them in the fall.
I know. Money is evil. I know it can change people, but I'm interested to understand why it'll ruin Isaiah Spiller, but not someone his own age, just because he's going to put on a Pistons jersey and not an A&M jersey.
Yeah.
Who's going to be getting a lot more of it, by the way? Are we concerned about what's going to happen to Evan Mobley? Will it ruin him?
Well, apparently no one likes Evan Mobley.
Well, no one here.
No one's he's probably not going to get drafted now.
Well,
Rockets don't like him.
I don't think that's the case. I think the Rockets are concerned about how ruined he'll be, so they don't want to give him any money.
Mm-hmm. You don't go to the Dixie Chicken and get chicken fingers, Dell. You're such a child. Tijuana fries all day.
Okay, I'm sure your Tijuana fries are awesome. I'm sure at the dive bar that you're trying to promote. Sure. I know it's an institution, but still, it's still bar food.
Right. My kid spends hours and days on end working out, hitting, throwing, fielding, etc. I know I'd love if he got 10,000. I mean, we got 10,000. He owes me. Yeah, that's right. He owes me. Owes me. JT, why didn't you get that 10th? Why were you born when you were born?
Well, maybe
4 years later, and I could have cashed in.
At Rice?
At Rice.
Okay.
It's big cash. Checks coming, Dell.
Yeah, JT would make more at Rice being the what is he going to be, a missionary?
He is.
If NIL for missionaries?
Is.
Yeah.
Yep.
Then they don't care about sports there. Not football, at least.
He's a missionary in Destin.
What does that do?
He's trying to convert.
Convert people in Destin?
Yeah.
How did he get that gig?
I don't know. And I don't know. It's the best gig there is. Who wants to go to Cambodia?
Well, some people want to change the world, at least.
He wants to change Destin. Can't blame him.
Destin, Florida. Let's look at the weather in Destin, Florida today.
It's perfect.
What's he enjoying as far as weather in Destin?
No, actually, it
rains a lot, doesn't it?
It's called STUMO. It's where all college kids from all over the country meet.
86 degrees.
Perfect.
Yeah, it's going to rain all week, but it always does in Florida. Scattered thunderstorms. It'll rain for 30 minutes, and he can do whatever he'd like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. It's going to rain for 30 minutes. Okay.
Destin looks like a nice place.
It is a nice place. Hey, Italian Towns in Calabria are going to pay you $33,000 to move in. That's where my people are from, though.
They want people.
Calabria. We're Calabrese.
They need people to Calabrese. Populate the city now?
So, apparently, yeah. Italian region of Calabria is percolating a plan to boost populations of dwindling towns. Guess what? 33,000. I'm out. Bye. This show's over.
Yeah, but then you have to still live.
Charlie Pilotto's next.
You still have to live in Calabria.
That's where I want to live.
You sure?
That's my people.
Is Wendy going to go there?
Oh, man. Yeah, she's going to go. They got a TV station.
Okay. Is at the same stature as the ABC station in Houston?
33,000 to move to sleepy hamlets with less than 2,000 inhabitants. Yes. You know, you could be the number one rated television station there.
You're the only television station there.
Yeah, and I don't even think you can find one. Yeah. I don't think you'll find a radio. I don't think you'll find a
number
a
one
newspaper or a pen, even, probably.
What's the what's the cost of living in Calabria?
Can't be much. Can't be much, but they're going to pay you $33,000.
But there are a few catches, the New York Post says. It's not just $33,000. I'm just reading the headline, but it's not simply... We're just going to give you money.
Oh, you got to be a professional that the towns are actively seeking.
Are they seeking a radio professional?
They're looking for a sports talk show host?
Seems unlikely for you.
Oh, and boomers need not apply. Never mind.
Yeah,
you got to be under 40.
They want people to, you know, invigorate the city.
Yeah.
Not
and
bring
willing,
your
yeah, old, not old people.
Not bring your old.
Your old boomer ass.
Old-fashioned ways to Calabria.
No. Beat it.
Oh, well.
Beat it, boomer. Ah, a-holes. Screw Calabria. I'm not going.
You weren't going there anyway. What's the golf like in Calabria?
I think Dolce & Gabbana and Chanel is cheaper in Calabria, too. Hope JT doesn't have to suffer through cart path only. God forbid.
It is raining quite a bit.
It is. Well, I'm Destin. If it's cart path only, then you know what? Everybody's got their cross to bear.
Yeah, it's amazing how much you whine about cart path only.
Cart path only blows. That's the worst. I shouldn't have said, though, that might have been, you know, that a golf pro that got shot in Atlanta?
You said he got shot because of golf path.
Well, was it cart path only?
That's probably the wrong stance to take on that. He didn't get shot. And weren't other people in the back of a truck on the course, too? It was an ugly scene.
They might have all made that decision together. You know what? Y'all got
to
go.
That's a rough way to go out.
All right. 713-780-3776. If you want to get in with us, we will revisit our slumping baseball team next, right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. Your Astros are slumping a little bit, what with, you know, 4 hits over the weekend. 1 run, 1 hit yesterday, 10 strikeouts. It's a spigot, isn't it?
They
just
wanted to get
opens
out,
and closes.
They wanted out of Chicago as quickly as you did.
Yeah, they are faster. I mean, I wasn't as bad as they were in Chicago.
But you knew when you had to go.
I had to go.
So they're like, hey. Had enough of this dirty ass, trash ass city. We gotta go.
Gotta go.
It's been rough. I mean, outside a outburst in bottom of the ninth against the Yankees in the first game of the White Sox series, they're a one run or none for them over the last 6 games, 4 out of 6.
Yeah, you got so we talked about it a little bit earlier. Scherzer is now all of the media is starting to. Oh my gosh, Scherzer. I saw Michael Schwab put something out. Our own Kenny Van Doren on Climbing Cal's Hill. You know, Scherzer now all of a sudden. Yeah, I was on this a couple months ago.
And you're still under the belief that yours was a unique idea. No one else could have thought of it.
Well, whatever. I thought of it first. But okay.
Okay.
Okay. No, well, here's why. It's because this is what the Astros do. They go get Verlander. They go get Greinke. They go get Scherzer. This is what the Astros do. We ain't going to get a middling starter. You know what? They ain't going to win a World Series? A middling starter. Go get the All-Star Game starter. Go get one of the best. Go get a Hall of Famer. That's what the Astros do. That's what they do. So that's the move, and that wins championships, or at least gets you to the brink, the precipice of championship.
What's it going to cost?
At what cost? I don't know. I don't know. We'll see what it's going to cost and whether or not they've got, if they've got enough ammunition, we'll see.
Is Scherzer at a point and has the status with the Nationals where he's like an NBA player and he goes, hey, guys, if I understand you're considering trade me, but trade me here. Is he that? Is he that type where they're like, sure, we'll acquiesce to your wishes, or will they just send him to whatever contender they can? Because that would help if he comes out and says, or not comes out, but he tells them internally, I want to go to the Astros. Will they listen? I don't know, because basketball, that stuff happens all the time. Do baseball organizations run that way?
I don't know that. And this is the last year of his deal, so how much I think you give up? You have to give up less than you would normally. I thought he had one more year. He doesn't. This is the last year of his deal. So I don't know that you acquiesce. I don't know that there's going to be a whole bunch out there. What with you having to spend $11 million on him or so for the last couple of months of the season. And then he's an unrestricted free agent. You know, I think you lost a little bit of your, if you had done this last year, of course, you know, you were still thinking that you were, you're just coming off a World Series. You're not going to trade your ace. So neither here nor there, but I think that the Astros probably have enough equity to get the deal done since it's the last year of his deal. He's a 2-month rental. Hopefully you can sign him to a longer deal, but there's no guarantee of that unless you can make that. You know what? You're a contender. You're going to be a contender. You tell him, hey, we'll sign you to a long-term deal. Come on, let's get this done. And you give up what you give up because Scherzer makes you a – the dude makes you a contender. I think he's got – he's 36 right now. I think, you know, he's probably got a couple, 3 years left. No? He's got Scott Boris as his agent. That's a bad thing.
So, yeah, you're trading for him, and then you got to deal with Boris in the offseason?
Mm-hmm. Or you do it, you see if you can't get something while you're doing the deal. Maybe a 2-year deal afterwards. Because, listen, he's a $34 million guy now. I don't know that he is at the age of 37. You know, we just saw Lance Lynn take 19 a year. He just got extended from the White Sox, $38 million, 19 per. Lance Lynn is still pretty good, really good. We know that. We've seen that. I don't know that Scherzer is going to take 19, but would he take 22, 23 at 37? I don't know. He probably wants to hit the open market to see what he'll get since he's still the All-Star game starter. He's still that good. He'll probably command more than that. And he's got Scott Boras, so you know he'll command more than that.
So this, according to this article I'm reading, Scott Boras back in June said that Scherzer would seek an extension with whatever team tries to trade for him.
Good.
Yeah.
Good. Now, what will that extension be? Of course, if he's pitching like this, you know, he's going to be worth. And you get rid of Verlander money, you get rid of Greinke money, you get rid of Correa money. Would you rather have Correa signed for over 8 years at 30 per or pick up Scherzer for the next couple of years, 2-year extension at 35 per?
I like the thought of Correa being here until he's old and dusted. So he's 34, 35. I like the thought of that more than Scherzer because short term, sure, Scherzer sounds great, but the Astros haven't had any problems finding starting pitching. They have. I mean, I keep talking about what the young, now Fromber struggling, but what finding Garcia, Fromber, and Urquidy has done to their window. I would like to get the position player locked in if possible. If it's one or the other, I'm taking Correa. Because I think the Astros, as long as Strom's around, I don't have many concerns about their starting rotation. Now, the bullpen, that's a completely different story.
Yeah. Well, again, we kick somebody down into the bullpen.
Understood. But if it's Correa
or
Scherzer, I'm taking Correa.
I don't need the bullpen as much when I've got Scherzer.
No, I know we're talking about this year, but if we're talking about the long-term prognosis of the long-term things when it comes to the franchise, I would like Correa here till he's 34, 8 years from now than Scherzer. Because, as I said, for whatever reason, the Astros have the ability to go find to turn young pitchers into dudes that they can depend on. I want Correa here. And I feel like in your scenario, it's one or the other.
Yeah, I don't know that they're signing two guys to $30 million. I don't know which one I want, if you want to know the truth. Carlos get any hits last couple of games?
No. Okay, sure.
Scherzer.
Baseball, the one sport where it's all about the totality, if nothing else, you're looking at the last couple of days?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Just remember when Carlos is up to bat in the postseason, how you feel when he's there as opposed to if he wasn't there and it's someone else. Just remember that feeling when he's going 0 for over a weekend in Chicago, whatever he did. What does it feel like when he's up at the plate in a big moment? How do you feel?
Better come up with a hit.
But how?
Otherwise, we're getting Scherzer.
How do you usually feel? I'm talking about in the playoffs. How does it usually turn out? How do you feel? You feel pretty good. Scherzer's up there every 5 days in the playoffs. Maybe it's a little shortened. I would like to see Correa here long term. That's all. You and your short term thinking.
What did he do this weekend? That's all I'm asking.
Okay, what did Scherzer do in his last outing?
Look great at the All-Star. Oh, you mean in the All-Star game that Carlos Correa wasn't at?
His real last outing, not the All-Star game.
Yeah. I was sorry I wasn't here to hear all the golf talk, but the camera work was terrible at the Open. Hey, Limeys, get some technology.
Limeys.
Can we call them Limeys?
Is that allowed? Is that hate speech?
Why is it? What is a Limey?
I don't know. I'm looking it up right now.
Yeah. Why are they called
it's derogatory, at least.
Yeah.
According to Google.
Limey, a British person.
Limey. Limey.
Yeah, Limey, we know that.
Been America around since the 19th century.
Was probably first applied by Americans to British sailors. Used with disparaging intent.
So, let's see. The term is thought to have originated in 1850s as lime juicer, later shortened to limey. It had been the practice of the Royal Navy to add lemon juice to the sailors' daily ration of grog, watered-down rum. The vitamin C was supposed to help prevent scurvy.
Yeah, you got to have some vitamin C, otherwise you get scurvy.
So Americans called them limeys because of lime and rum. Lime juicer.
Limey.
Is it lime or lemon juice, did they say?
It said lime.
Lime?
Wikipedia. They used both, it appears.
Okay.
It had been the practice of the Royal Navy to add lemon juice to the sailors' rotation.
That's what I said, lemon juice.
Yeah, I'm not sure why they were called lime juicers then.
So,
but they act, that's but they, not very, no, they later switched to limes.
Okay, so that's not very insulting. Because you put a lime in your grog?
Yeah.
First of all, you're drinking grog.
You think back then.
Well, how about groggies?
I don't know if you know this, but back then people weren't that clever.
No, really weren't.
No.
No.
Just
I'll show you. You put lime in your grog? Limey.
Yeah. How do you get a name like Carpenter's your last name? Someone in your family was a carpenter.
Carpenter.
Now you're
not that.
It's not that clever or creative.
No. No.
I'm sure the first cooks were actual cooks.
Right. I'm sure.
Yeah. Sure that's where it came from.
I got some questions for you, Ben.
About what? What are your questions?
How did Adrian Boner get his name? Oh, it's Broner.
It's Broner, not Boner.
Oh, yeah.
You really should be talking about that Navy linebacker.
Oh, yeah. Not going to talk about that.
Or that Florida State wide receiver, Ducote. It was spelled with two G's, though.
Yeah.
That last thing was spelled with two G's.
Yeah, I don't know about that one.
So you want to ask people how the family got that name?
How'd you get that name?
Man, I was watching some Spanish language show on Netflix, and boy, did they not appreciate, like, in 1850s people with alternative lifestyles. Like, you're a sodomizer. You die. I was like, whoa. I forgot that this is what they did to people back then. I was like, wow. It was like in the 1800s Spain. They're like, that's a crime. You got to die. I was like, you got to die? I'm glad we've progressed from then.
Yeah, we don't die from our sexual preferences.
Well, yeah, at least not by law in this country, at least.
What does Spencer want? Let's get him in here. Spencer, what's up?
Hey, guys. You're talking about Correa, and, you know, it's really easy for me to talk myself out of signing him long-term or talk myself into signing him long-term. You know, but at the end of the day, I think one thing that's overlooked with him is that I don't know if the stats back this up or whatever, but he's one of the most talented defensive shortstops I've ever seen in my entire life. You know, his arm is just unbelievable. He has incredible range. And, you know, it's easy to say don't re-sign him. It's too much money and all that kind of good stuff. But the reality is that if you lose Correa, at some point, you're making it more and more difficult for yourself to succeed. You know, I wanted Springer to stay, but the reality is Jordan is a little bit older, and outfielders are easier to find. When you have a gold glove caliber shortstop who is, he might not be the best hitting shortstop in baseball, but he's one of the best. And if you sign him long term, there's always an injury risk. But at the end of the day, if you had to flip the coin, I'd say sign him long term. I don't think you'll regret that contract. And he's just going to go from there. So anyway, and I've gone back and forth, and I may change my mind again in a month. But at the end of the day, I think it's worth it. He's still young enough where you can sign a 7-8-year contract and probably be okay with it. Thanks, Dad.
All right, Spencer, appreciate it. Yeah, everybody's got their opinion on it. Everybody. I'd love to see Correa here for long term, but I just don't know that's going to happen. All right, 7-3-7-8-0-3. You got any thoughts? 7-3-7-8-0-3-7-7-6. I got a thought of being a champion, Champion Energy. Champion.energy/1560. I got a thought on saving money every single month. I got a thought on the best service for your electricity company. I got a thought on every time that your contract is up, them giving you a better, it seems like every single time I've had a better rate the next time. And other electricity companies just don't do this because they want you to continue on with the bad rate. My Champion says, hey, we got a better rate here for you. Hurry up, sign up for another 2 years. And all you got to do is go to champion.energy/1560. Locally owned and operated, your money's staying right here with great people. Champion.energy/1560.
You are listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Looking at a story here, Dell, on CBS, NFL CBS. Well, first of all, it's Jalen Ramsey blaming Tom Coughlin for what happened in Jacksonville. Coughlin is like, well, obviously Coughlin has had his success with a couple of Super Bowls, but he's also probably a pain in the ass for today's NFL player. I mean, he has rules like you have to wear white socks and not black socks.
He was a pain in the ass in like the early 2000s.
Yeah.
I can't imagine he's changed that much.
No, he was a task. I mean, I remember guys going like, holy crap, go to Jacksonville and guess what? It is awful. It is hard. But some guys like that. They wanted the discipline and as opposed to a relaxed atmosphere, being all about football and everything else. And guess what? Tom Coughlin won a couple of titles doing it. So maybe it wasn't all that bad. Then there was a story about trade possibilities. Aaron Rodgers, that seems to be gaining some steam that he will actually get traded. I don't see it. I think what's going to end up happening, he's going to get a contract, new contract, rip that one up, we'll extend you, you're going to get paid a boatload of money, and then you'll be happy.
We know the money can kind of smooth over things for the player. I guess you just have to eat your that bleep sandwich if you're the GM, who Aaron Rodgers clearly was trying to invoke a power play to get you out of there. You just got to take it, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, you know what? Hey, man, Aaron doesn't like me, but whatever. I just wonder, the players are just going to say, Aaron's here, we're good. So I don't worry about that at all. But that front office's feelings got to be rough. Got to be hurt a little bit. But you get over it when the player's the caliber that Aaron Rodgers is.
Yeah, so I don't know that that's going to happen. We'll see. This whole thing is probably just about money and how Gunnar Kunst has handled it, which is probably really crappy. And so now we're at this stalemate. But they're talking about the possibility of a trade, for Allen Robinson. He was franchise tagged. So, maybe they can find a way. Although, if Justin Fields is the starter, he could use a good wide receiver, no? Anybody could use a good wide receiver. Stephon Gilmore, the possibility of him being traded. And then Bradley Roby is mentioned in here. He just extended him 3-year, $36 million deal in 2020, rightfully so. Still a starting caliber cover corner. But the Texans need all the cap relief and additional assets they can get. The new front office may very well be restarting at QB and every other position, to be frank, by 2022. If not this year, and Roby would still be appealing to contenders, even though he's suspended for the opener, he'd likely net a decent return, not to mention save the team almost $9.2 million this year. I could certainly see that. And what could you get for a Bradley Roby?
Well, think about the corner market. If Xavien Howard goes on the market, like the Dolphins and him are not anywhere close to a new contract, partly for, at least in the Dolphins' eyes, because they just gave him one a couple years ago. This was before his great year last year, so he wants a new one, doesn't like being the second highest paid corner on the team behind Byron Jones. But so let's say you started Xavien Howard. How much is an elite cornerback worth in your eyes? Like an all-pro type.
Well, I mean, Ramsey got two firsts. So we know that the market is, and even the Jamal Adams got two firsts, and that's a safety.
So if the Dolphins find some team willing to give them two firsts, Bradley Roby multiple steps below Xavien Howard, is he worth a second round pick?
Yeah,
possibly.
I think so. Especially a contending team that's got to have, that is desperate for a corner. Let's say a corner goes down in training camp, or, you know, you're really that you're just short of that. You got some cap space, and you could use a corner. I could certainly see the Texans getting, you know, Lance would probably say, oh, second.
Are we overvaluing Bradley Roby?
Maybe. And I'm worried about, you know, he was good, but he was good on steroids. Mm-hmm. So he's still got one more game. So you don't have that, but you still got him for 16 games. But my question is he going to be as good when not roided up? I think that's probably a pretty good question. I would imagine, plus I think he's a known pain in the ass, if you want to know the truth.
You know, Denver had their problems with him?
Denver had problems with him. The Texans had problems with him.
Yeah.
He was a guy that got into a shouting match. I think that's where JJ, if I'm not mistaken, that's where JJ stepped in. It was a Roby was involved in that. And anyway, I know that Roby's been involved in shouting matches, and I'm not sure that he's all that great meetings and what, you know, that, you know, all that stuff you got to do.
So let me
be an NFL player.
Oh, you mean the things that teams expect of you?
Yeah. Those kind of things.
So Darius Slay, he was acquired last year. Big name. The Eagles traded a third and a fifth for him.
Okay.
And he got a new deal along with it. So they had to pay him. That's part of the calculation. And they gave up two mid-round picks, two third-day picks for him. Does that
He getting paid before? Because Roby's got a, you know, making 12 a year.
Well, as the trade went down, they gave him a new deal. A new deal worth $50 million over 3 years, $30 million guaranteed. So, but he was still on the contract, obviously, because the trade happened. But they did give him a new deal. Now, Roby, how many years does he have left?
He's got two left. He got a 3-year deal before last season, right?
Yes. Not that I you can't ever expect an NFL player to be like, yeah, that deal's fine. I don't want a new one. But coming off the suspension, maybe that deal is just fine for Roby right now. So he's under contract for two seasons. Is a third and a fifth, or would you give up more because you don't have to give him a deal?
I'm trying to find him. He's in a different category because he's suspended. Here's Bradley Roby. So reserve suspended. So he still has, this year and next year. Possible out, dead cap is just going to be $1 million next year. But a dead cap is only $2 million, and he's making, you're saving over $9 million. His cap hit, and his dead cap is just $2 million. So he's very tradable, if you want to know the truth. I think probably a third. We'll get you Bradley Roby. And you know what? I think you just take it and go, we're saving that cap space. We're looking to the future. Bradley Roby's not the future. Bradley Roby's not a guy that, well, I would say a guy you want around with young players, but they don't have any young players.
No.
There's no young players. Now, next year they'll have young players. And next year they'll have multiple first rounders.
We assume.
Yeah.
When this trade, the Deshaun trade eventually goes down, they should have their own, and probably if they find the right team, a couple others. You could be looking at 3 first round picks next year, possibly.
I just hope Nick Caserio is. I just hope he's like not averse to getting a bunch of young, good players.
Why would he be averse to that?
I don't know. Look at what he picked up this offseason. A bunch of journeymen.
Maybe
a bunch of middling free agents.
If I take
older guys, they're the oldest team in the NFL and they suck.
If I take a positive viewpoint,
I can't even think about this team anymore.
Maybe he's, well, you're going to have to. We got that 20 Texans in 20 days, so you better start thinking about him.
Oh, I'm done.
When training, when training camp starts.
I'm already sick of this team and we haven't even started training camp.
Sorry, you're going to get a lot more of them. But maybe this year was about bringing in guys who work, culture setters even. Maybe this wasn't about, I know we can hear about competition all we want, but it's like, what good, I got the two little people competition, and they fight on who's the tallest when it comes to the talent level on this team. I don't care about this competition. You don't want any of these guys starting on a good football team anyway. But it's simply, hey, we're going to sign guys and trade for guys who work hard and can set a standard here that our young players, when we bring them in, the guys we really want to stay around will match. I don't know. I'm just trying to find some reason why you've got...
There's no reason.
There has to be a reason why
you
you're signing
a bunch of middling older free agents.
There's got to be a reason for it.
Oh, man. And oh, by the way, I was looking through SpotTrack and the Texans. They got 900 players. Oh my goodness!
Are they at the 90 total that you're allowed to have?
Oh, and then some. I think they probably cheated. They have like 200 players.
What a way
roster.
To cheat! Backup linebackers from across the league.
You know, with Tyler Simmons and Jordan Thomas. I mean, what the hell is this? Why is Benny Jopru on their dead cap?
No way that's a thing.
It says Benny Jopru is 408,000 of dead cap.
How large was his original deal?
2021 dead cap.
Benny Jopru's on the dead cap? On the salary cap?
He's 41 years old.
What are you looking at?
I'm looking at SpotTrack. They've got Benny Jopru on their dead cap, on the Texans' dead cap space.
I feel like that's a misprint.
I feel like it. Benny Jopru is still haunting the Texans. I'm sorry, Benny. Actually, I put out there one time something about Benny Jopru, and Benny was like,
"What are
you
doing,
dude?
I'm
standing over here. I'm right here. I got kids.
you gotta pop me in the eye when
no,
I'm...
seriously,
there can't be possible."
It says Nick Martin, okay, Bernardrick McKinney, okay, Brian Anger, okay, Zach Fulton, Darren Fells, Benny Jopru.
Did they push the deal back? How many years? Did they defer the deal to 2021?
This is like the Mets deal.
Like Bobby Bonilla?
Bobby Bonilla.
I can't believe it.
No. What?
That has to be wrong.
Angelo Blackson, Cullen Gillespie. All these guys are. Jordan Thomas, Tyler Simmons, Scott Jan Johnson. All these guys and Benny Jopru.
Where are you? I'm on SpotTrack. I'm looking at the guys you're talking about, and I haven't. That's impossible.
I'm looking at it.
I can't even see.
You don't see him?
There he's under Darren Fells.
That's right.
What is going on here? Cap hit. His signing bonus for $408,000, and the cap hit is that amount, which
0.21 of their cap.
What?
Second over, round two, 41st overall, 2003, and he's part of the Texans' dead cap.
Did they defer this until 2021, and now it's just coming due?
What the hell? Did Bill O'Brien do this deal?
I'm trying to figure out how this happened.
Bill O'Brien.
Because Benny Jopru wasn't paid enough on his original deal for it to still be, like, the Bobby Bonilla thing is $1 million, whatever it is, for the next God knows how many years the Mets have been doing it. Benny Jopru's original deal wasn't worth that amount.
He was drafted in 2003, the second year that went. Oh my God! If this is true,
it's got to be a miss. It's got to be an error, right?
Yeah. Oh my gosh! All right, 713-780-3776 is the number if you'd like to get in here on ESPN 97.5. Unbelievable. Benny Joprue. They took Benny Joprue instead of Jason Witten. They chose him over Jason Witten.
Yeah.
Jason Witten is a Hall of Famer.
Well,
Joprue didn't play a play.
Jason Witten wasn't a scheme fit. Sorry.
Yeah. He kind of don't know how he would have fit in here. 9:47. I'm disgusted.
You are listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Is the NBA hate for Giannis real?
You mean other players?
Other players?
I didn't notice people tweeting about the lack of respect Giannis seems to get.
He doesn't get any
from
love.
Other
like,
players.
Like when other NBA players are doing, like when Dame is doing something, everybody's, oh, Dame. Oh, look at Devin Booker.
Yeah, coming from NBA players tweeting about it.
Yeah, to other NBA players. Apparently, he doesn't get any.
Did Giannis get any love from NBA players for that dunk that gave him the 3-point lead? None of that stuff?
When he was going for the block of Ayton the other day?
No NBA players are like, can't believe that play?
I think the show before us put it best. He's an athlete playing basketball as opposed to a basketball player who's athletic.
Look, we talked about this, I think maybe, I don't know if it was Friday or before, about the James thing. James was like, if I could just run and jump and be 7 feet, that'd be great, but I have to actually use skill. And then I was like, well, this dude's going for 40-plus in finals game, so maybe you calm down with that now, okay?
Yeah.
But apparently that is the thought.
That's the thought. He's just a big dude. Now, Shaq got love as just a big dude.
Yeah, I don't know why.
He's different, but...
And Giannis isn't considered a center, even though he has center height.
No, Lopez is their center.
No, I know, but
Giannis
is as tall as any center in the NBA. He just plays a different type of game now.
And I don't know, is it because he's not from here? Is it because he doesn't have a Durant skill or a LeBron skill set even? Or a James Harden or a, you know, I mean, because that's what today's player is and they aspire to be. What those guys do, not what Giannis does. A 2-time MVP, and he's going to be MVP Finals MVP. He's going to be Finals MVP.
Although Spencer Dinwiddie tried to figure out a way for him not to win
it. So Spencer Dinwiddie from the Nets, he's just thought of an interesting what if. Maybe Marvel inspired me. No, I think they probably did. Giannis is out for Game 6 due to health and safety protocols. Close contact with Thanasis.
Yeah, his brothers miss time because of that.
Bucks still win. Does K-Mid get finals MVP? Chris Middleton.
Someone's like, why is a grown man trying to figure out a way for Giannis not to win the MVP? And the what if thing is Marvel has a new series coming out on Disney Plus about what if scenarios if something different happened in the Marvel Universe, how would it play out? I do think you're correct. NBA players don't F with Giannis for whatever reason.
They don't like him.
I don't know if it's a dislike because he doesn't seem unlikable. I mean, who knows what he's saying on and off the court to these guys, but they don't mess with him. He's not one of them.
He's not one of them.
For whatever reason.
He talks funny.
He's from a different country, you think?
Yeah, he talks funny. I mean, not like America. He doesn't talk like American. And, well, maybe he's not about that. He's not about that NBA life. We know that. He was living in like a one-bedroom apartment with his brother. And his mom came and she was staying there too. I was like, Giannis, get yourself a place. Dude.
Well, he's got a significant other and a kid now. I don't know if he's married to this woman. So I'm sure he does have his own place now. Yeah, you would have to ask an NBA player off the record because I doubt they go on the record and say it. Like, it should be a topic of conversation on LeBron's barbershop show why don't you guys mess with Giannis? Best player in the league, one of the best players in the league, apparently about to win a finals, win a title, excuse me, coming back from down 0-2 in the finals off a hyperextended knee, just going out there and destroying dudes. And y'all still don't like him? Why? What's the deal?
I don't know.
I like to know because he
talks funny.
He talks funny. Luka talks funny, doesn't he? I think he's well-liked.
Well, is he considered... Well, he's certainly not considered African-American. Is he considered... Is he in the community?
I don't know. You'd have to ask NBA players what the deal is. Because you're right. When you go to those... When you go to, like, those aggregate sites and they aggregate all the Twitter reactions to spectacular things, you don't ever see it. You don't ever see them doing that for Giannis.
Mm-mm. What about Chris Paul? How much crap is he going to get?
He'll get a lot from non-NBA people. Like, the NBA people won't crush him, but the people whose job it is, like us, to either create narratives or respond to them, or just NBA Twitter, like the fans, they're going to destroy Chris Paul.
But, yeah, because it's like he's right on the brink, and look what he does. He had a good game.
Yeah, I can't destroy him.
It was funny though. He pulled him in the mid fourth quarter. I was like, wow. He only played 35 minutes.
He's Monty Williams apparently turning into Mike Budenholzer. No, not playing your stars heavy minutes. When
is Monty Williams?
Most.
Hey, what about Monty Williams' adjustments? How are they?
You know, someone tweeted about this. I forgot who it was. I'd like to love them give them credit. He goes, all y'all so focused on Mike Budenholzer. Did you ever stop to think he's just actually better than Monty Williams? Like, sure, Budenholzer might have his problems, but in this scenario, he's not the outmatched coach. Maybe Monty Williams is. And maybe that's why things have turned in the Bucks' direction. Because Budenholzer, well, I know you and Jeff Van Gundy were talking about how everyone's crushing Budenholzer for not adjusting. Maybe in this scenario, he's just a better coach.
It's amazing. And no. Well, the show before Key. Hey, where's his adjustments? Key, what adjustments do you want to make, Key? Key, how do you want to play that pick and roll?
How do you want to switch on? Against someone suggesting
you're gonna design it up.
That's the point. I'm not against an NBA person who does it for a living saying Budenholzer needs to make adjustments, but the talking head saying it. Okay, tell me. Since adjustments need to be made, go ahead. Line them up for me. Tell me what Budenholzer's not doing, and why you have the answers. Because yeah. I don't think you're that guy. I think other people are, but for all the talk,
tell me the names.
That's a reference, a deep cut to a show that doesn't exist anymore. Or at least the configuration of the show has changed on this station.
Mm-hmm.
I think Budenholzer probably won't get much credit for it, but he's one win away from being a champion.
He is one win away, and it's funny, after game two, everybody buried him. They were done. They were done. I love that.
We didn't have him on. Well, we've had him on the show before, but he didn't say this on our show. Amin Elassan, who's now working with Lebatard and his independent network, said the Bucks may be one of the worst final teams that ever make the finals. Like, this, I think that either they had lost the first game or maybe the first two. He's like... one of the worst ever. I was like,
really?
Really? Did you?
What about Nets team?
Well,
the Philly team.
Well, that team took one from the Lakers, a dynasty Laker team. So people, I think the Lakers went 15-1 in that.
What about the Spurs beating that Nets team?
But you could always say those teams won games.
Like, I'll tell you what. The 91 Lakers that the Bulls beat, they won one game, but that was not a good basketball team.
They were limping in. Magic was on his last legs. I remember that team growing up in LA watching that. It was a miracle that team made the finals. But the reactions to the Bucks getting down 0-2 was like, worst team. Budenholzer can't make adjustments. And look, in my head, I was like, they still got to go to Milwaukee, right?
Nope.
And the Suns aren't an elite team. And that's the difference between the Suns and the Warriors teams when KD was on them. And then even teams of the past.
I sure would like to
elite
see
elite teams.
Yeah, I'm sure.
This is not a matchup of elite teams.
The Suns to win this game. That'd be fun.
You want a game seven?
Yeah. All right, it's 9:59, 10 o'clock here on ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776. I want to tell you on the other side, the Rockets have made their draft party, and we'll tell you where and how. Next, don't go anywhere.
Sylvia's Synergy Effect, brought to you by Synergy Home Care.
Getting back in the kitchen got mom back into life. After her stroke, she felt uncomfortable doing what she used to do. But with her Synergy caregiver, Emma, things changed. She got help at home and regained the confidence to get back to her old recipes. Now the hardest thing is getting mom to stop making her biscuits. So good.
We believe getting back to what you love can keep you moving forward. Find your Synergy Effect with Synergy Home Care.